And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yep. On a feared here on Declare Your Independence from me, Ernest Hancock. It is, what is today's date? It is the 17th of 2021, February. It is Wednesday. It is live. Thank you. We were, busy with the bus. Love bus took out the drone and took a bunch of pictures and everything as they're taking the engine out, and it's going over today to where it's going to be broken down and forensically examined, so we know what happened. So anyway, they're fixing that. Today we have Maxim Smith on the second hour. This is Matt Smith's, he's 16 probably now, your old son that has his own YouTube channel, Maxim Smith, very co-Maxim. And he did like a Youth for Trump or something, just to piss him off. But it was what he was doing. He was covering the classroom. You know, he's doing. Thank you, Don. He's doing the class. You know, I could use another coffee. All right, suck through this one. The he's in the classroom. How woke they are and what they were saying and doing, and just giving an inside view from a kid's perspective inside the classroom and online. And it was an invaluable opportunity to get the looky-see on the inside. And I, from that perspective, a lot of times these kids, they go, yeah, I got something to say, and but I really appreciate his work, and we're going to talk more about it in the second hour. This evening, then after that, in the third hour, of course, Dr. Judy Mikovits, we're going to get caught up on all things vaccine and the pandemic and everything that's going on. They have a summit, a healthcare, some kind of meeting. I think it's in the Midwest somewhere, Michigan or something. We're going to talk about that they're doing there. And there's some controversy of, different people that I don't want to get into. I'll just quit it. It's just whenever you have, I've seen this happen with the Second Amendment issue. And you'll have somebody that, either dies or they have partners or they pick me and not them, and that guy gets to speak and why didn't I, and yada 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 yada. And you see this back and forth go, as because I've been working for this, I got the best perspective, or I'm the smartest, listen to me. And I'm going, okay, come on, man, who's telling me the facts now? Who's lying? Who's being a little crap, that's another thing. But if you got more people out there showing the way and got flashlights and doing their Bic lighter thing, I'm like, cool. I don't care. How can I help? You, and you. So that's why this Friday there's an activist party that they're doing again here in the Valley. And that's why we're going to be spending the next couple of days of just a sign making. So we come with party favors. And I go, ooh, this is a big one. You want to put up a big one? It's got a nice little kid all rolled up. You just roll that bad boy out and zip tie and holes all done. Boom. 17 and a half seconds and boom. Over the overpass, boom. Here we go. I show you what's up. So then we're going to do that, and certainly have plans for after the party. We'll go put up a whole bunch ourselves, Don and I, because this after the weekend, I'm going to want to make sure they're getting all the bus thing all taken care of and so on. That's on the downhill slope, and then I still got to go to Colorado. So we're going to go to Air Creed Harry, where he's got different techniques for blowing aircrete onto different surfaces. And what he needs is when he inflates a bag that they do it over, which is Tyvek, under pressure, and it just creates, and you just start putting stuff on it. There you go. Thank you. And you start putting different slurries and concretes and stuff, and then you mesh it with, you know, various different things. Is it going to be wire? Is it going to be a nylon? Is it going to be a polyester or something? Is it going to be, And we've had some experience in a lot of different things. So what we're doing, they need an infrastructure, and they're starting to do this rebar thing. I go, hell, man, you know, that's like a pain in the butt. And the dome. And when they saw one, they go, okay, yeah, we're going to try that. So I'm going to go up to Adams. He has a bunch of our old domes we had manufactured and have set up ready. He was storing them because he was building whatever he needed. But I had a bunch of them. And we can get other different kinds of sizes and the different types of the conduit. We can go inch, three-quarter inch, or half-inch. Well, these are just half-inch, kind of 16-foot. That's all you need, three-phase, yada, yada. So I'm going up there. Probably Sunday, Monday at the latest, pick those up and then heading over to Southern Colorado. And I'm going to spend a few days of learnifying myself and getting pictures and video, and then I will share because we have funding for a structural engineer. So there you go. Yep, yeah, you know, I would think this is a good idea. Let's do it. Let's get a structural engineer, get some papers on, and say, yeah, I want to do this because I want to do it. I'm going to do it, Because this is the most efficient way of enclosing space. It's the safest. It's the most insulative. It's, you know, it's like for itty bitty little bit of teeny money, you can have a big kind of living space. And I'm interested. Well, we were, you know, close to going, yeah, we'll go ahead and, you know, this land, we'll make an offer. But I think the peak is, I can't imagine it keeps going. It's going to go down. We'll make a decent offer. But right after silver explodes, because it's going to go any day. You know, they'll pull crap out of their butt. And then, of course, crypto has gone to the moon, you know. So I'm going, dang, man. You know, it's just dang. Dang. And we have people that are still, you know, Donna's out showing houses and so on. You know, she's here in Arizona, man. They're just, you know, show me. I go and I look at these homes. Some of them are better than others. But to get if you're looking at about $500,000, you know, $500,000, you're in a nice neighborhood, maybe gated, maybe not, you know, it's up against the desert, it's, you know, I mean, you're still in a neighborhood, but, you know, it's got the tile roof and the granite, you know, counters and all that kind of stuff, you know, 3,000 square feet, 2,500 at least. It's a four-bedroom, three-bath, 2-3-car garage. It's, you know, they're nice. Some of them are freaking 30 years been lived in. They hadn't touched it with a screwdriver anywhere, and they still want the same price as the one that's fully decked out because the California caterers are coming over and saying, gimme, because they just sold their house for same thing for $1.5-2 million. So now they're coming in and go, all right. And I'll spend another $150,000 fixing it up, and I got, you know, Shea mine for a fraction of whatever it was they sold over there, but that's going away. You know, they have a little rumblings of real estate prices going up, guys, West Manhattan or something, Southwest, who cares? You know, in the ritzy, you know, place up there that they're actually even selling any. And then, of course, they'll BS you about, you know, what it's worth and so on. But the housing, I went through this before. And if you go back to my 2007 summer before the crash really started to hit, it was just like this. 2006, 2007. Now keep in mind, this is after real estate and the economy started to take a dump, you know, certainly after 9/11. I mean, right before that was the dot-com bubble. And it has all the makings. It's like you forget. It's like you're a kid. You don't know. You don't remember. You weren't around for the 3-4 cycles of this crap. And I can feel it, man. She'd be a coming. It'd be a coming. You know, Biden hadn't met with a single world leader and won't for another couple of months. What the hell is he doing? As little as possible, hopefully. We'll be right back.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
No stinking roads! We don't need no stinking roads! You know, the a lot of people, I haven't got as many complaints as I thought I would, because it's, you know, Freedom Phoenix has been operating, but it's been a lot slower over the last few days, and because we've been transferring data to a new server, and Derek is the man, making sure that, that goes well and so on. It might be done now. I haven't really checked the speed. Dara's been working on it today, but we kept it up. You know, it's up, when they want to take it down. And then we're over here now. Hey, it crashed, and we flipped on a mirror. And it's a new server. And we did a different yada yada and kiss my butt, new address, so suck it. You know, so this is, if we didn't have, guys helping, and you got your own Derek, huh? Got Derek, do you? If you don't got Derek, then you're screwed, and you are at the mercy of these platforms. And that's one thing. James Corbett and I are doing another show this evening, and we're kind of talking about world news and solutions and so on. We're going to be focusing on, I think we're going to be yakking about and using the internet. You know, and I might mention IPFS a couple of billion times, but and not really that. It's so much, it's where we got a place to go. I mean, you remember me saying at the beginning of the year, of last year, January 20 is when we started making the, a demonstration that, we could be off. And I go, hey, we're back. We're here to say, we're over there. And, we do social, Donna does. I mean, she goes in now, okay, she puts up the newsletter on the social media. She does this thing and a couple stories of what, I don't know. I don't look, I don't care. You know, it does increase the traffic. I get more of something, and I don't care. Because I don't care. And it's like, who's president of you now? I don't care. So it's something we know about. And I just can't bring myself to engage on, Twitter, Facebook, and all this. What a freaking brain suck. And people are starting to realize they're not happier. They're not more effective. They're not doing anything. Different parties and stuff. And I go, hey, Ernie, you going to the one? I go, what are you talking about? Oh, didn't you see the, no, where, did, oh, on Facebook, I go, well, then you obviously didn't see it. You want to communicate with me, you communicate with me, not my avatar on something that I don't look at and pay attention to anyway. You know, I can't tell you how many times I Facebooked you, and I'm like, wow, you got that IV in your arm, don't you? That's how you communicate everything. That's how you, while you're bitching about it. Yeah, but I bitch about Facebook on Facebook. Okay. Yeah. So that's one thing is getting off. I mean, take a freaking break. Now my kids do. They did. It got to where, especially with this pandemic, they did get a lot of their news there from the beginning. And then they started to realize that, because they had been conditioned to it. They've understood it. They've been activist kids, for their whole freaking life. I tell you what's going to happen. They're going to get you thinking this way. They want you to do that. You're going to react to this. You're going to be unhappy. Well, when that started to actually happen, they go, okay, man, we're done. So they just stop. But we wanted to have the ability to communicate. So the best way has been a text, which is the same thing. I mean, they're freaking, but it's, you're peer-to-peer and you're direct with, and you got a group, and then they'll, take that off if it becomes effective, and you're not allowed. So the kids, I'm going, there needs to be a mechanism for you have a pirate communication box between families. That was really what kind of started this whole IPFS pirate box thing. We can do it for the planet. Okay, let's do that too. But at the very least, I just give, $60 worth of stuff to each one of the kids, and we got our own family communication nodes that just connected on there. Each one, we could share pictures and do and have storage of, kind of in the own socket. And know the hash? I mean, it's not like it's secret or planning, downfall of the universe or anything. It's just, you don't need to see my 3D super picture of my unborn grandson and put him in the facial recognition before he's born on Facebook crap. I'm going, why are we doing that? Because it's convenient. oh, you sell your soul for convenience, you know. Nah, I think I'll decline. We went yesterday. I'll share this with you, get a little bit of history, and, you know, oh my God, you're not on the computer. We got up early, you know. I did all my work and sent, you know, the stories to be put up and did everything while he did his homeschooling and so on. You know, we were staying with one of my sons, has four kids, two boys, two girls, and they're like 11 down to 5, you know, and they're just awesome. You know, it's just, I mean, they're awesome. And we used to get them all the time, you know, every Monday, you know, they'd all come over. And a lot of times we'd babysit them when they were really young and had an impact on them. You know, oh my God, they asked Grandpa a question, and they go, Papa, how come they, like, oh, we gonna know everything. And then, you know, that segues into, you know, how that is done. You know, why is the grass green? Well, you know, it's, you know, what is green? You know, it's electromagnetic waves of the sun of white light of blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, oh, you want to know? We're going to know. Mostly because I want to know and I don't know. So, you know, we go find out. And then I said, let me tell you what I know. I know how to go find out. So that's what we're going to do. So that's really what they learned. Then my grandson and I went to look at them taking the engine out of the bus, which is in the east, Superstition Mountain Apache Junction out in, oh my goodness, East Valley. You know, and that's why we were staying out there with them, because they were the closest, which is still 30 minutes more out to go out there. And so we took some drone footage, took some pictures of them dismantling it and how it comes out. You know, it's cool how that engine is. You take the rear bumper off of the bus, and there's a rails, you know, like two things that this whole engine sets on a rack that sets on those rails that are then bolted down, and you joints and bolts and everything that hold that on that rail. You undo those, it just slides out. You disconnect it from the bell housing on the transmission, and the whole big giant freaking V8 diesel two-stroke, oh my God, you take off all the accoutrement, and it just slides out. Well, then they forklift it onto a truck, you know, and then they're taking it. You know, that's just a yard where they're doing that, so they don't have a bus sitting in your yard forever. And then they take it out, and they're starting to dismantle it and take pictures and measurements and all that kind of stuff, and then order all the stuff and do it. So as fast as they can get it done, because I know that I want March 8th, I want to have it to where I'm in Austin for Float Fest. And definitely want to go to that and say hello. But I'd love to do it with the bus. And then we do a bunch of interviews and everything and have some fun. But if I don't, all right, fine. You know, we'll take one of the cars and, you know, Donna's Enclave is pretty nice. And we can, you know, sleep in the back of that sucker, you know. So I'm like, all right, we can do that. And then we've done that before. So we'll go there, have some fun, get some interviews, you know, press the flesh, say, yo, what's up. And then maybe even sign everywhere, because we can. And these are the ones that we can roll up really tight and get a bunch of them and do it a bunch of times. And I'm all over this sign thing. These guys need to be, they need, you know, and we're going to be doing a lot here before we leave. We've been getting everything all set up. We've been doing a bunch. We've probably done, got hundreds, you know, the smaller ones. But I want to get into a mass production of the big ones. I want big ones. If they're not at least, you know, 5x6, 7x8, you did it wrong. We got a bunch of 4x8, the stencil stuff that we're doing. Yeah, because they need.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Oh, I guess I'll go check and see what cryptos are doing, because, you know. You look at your wallets and you go, damn, 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 damn. What the hell? Okay. There's that. Bitcoin Cash is $715. And Horizon, which was Zencash, and I spread them out amongst, you know, I got like Raven Coin, and I got Horizon, and I got Bitcoin. I mean, I spread it out amongst, you know, different tokens and everything, based on philosophy. And it wasn't so much that I went, oh, this is going to go to the moon. No, I want this developed. I want them to keep going down this road. I see what you're doing. I want to encourage that. I want to have them on the show. You pump, you know, what they're doing. This is why and everything. And then, you know, and when it's something fundamental like that and they show that they actually did something, and that's more. And you got them for nothing, you know. So I'm going, okay, so that's good. I like that. And then, let's see, we take a look over at this wallet. And this is, and I don't have that much. I mean, I pull in $5,000 and all of a sudden it goes to like a lot more. And you go, okay, looks like I need to buy more silver. And then in the PayPal, you know, people that have, you know, like monthly donations they can do. You join Freedom's Phoenix and it gives you options and you have $5, $10 a month thing. After a while, I go check the pay. Oh, you got a certain time of the month they show. Yeah, you know, you got a donation. Okay, it's $5, $5, $10, $25. And I go look and I go, wow, I can buy more silver. So I did. So support the, you know, what we're doing here. I mean, we spend a lot of money. I mean, just on sign stuff. I mean, God, thousands a month. I mean, just to do this, you know, I mean, just the sign material, you know, and it's really, really my pleasure. Cause that's how I just know you're penetrating, you know, the Iron Curtain. You know, these guys are just so, and they put you in, we're going to shut down your social media. You're not able to talk to the 100,000, same 100,000 of the other 100,000 of people, 100,000. And I'm going, you know, you guys suck, man. I get that many people getting a slogan in their head, you know, the morning traffic in 2 hours. Seriously? You know, and it's physical, meat space. It's out there. They see it. That's my opinion. I'm just saying my opinion. Everything I got to say, I go, yeah, well, my opinion is that you have a physical manifestation of it, and you don't have to subscribe and hunt it down and subscribe to whatever to get a confirmation bias reinforced, you know, on, you know, some list that you're on. I mean, if that's the only way that you're getting support, then man, that sucks. You need out in meat space, man, saying, boom, what did you see what I saw when I came to walking into the hospital and checked and in parking lot of the chain down in front of the fire police station on the overpass? Did you see that? Did you see that? Of course you saw that. Everybody saw that. So that's what I don't know. Am I old? Is this something different? Is it like, you know, the 1770s where, you know, they had like pamphlets and stuff. Is that passe? That doesn't work anymore or something? Huh? Me asking already knowingly? Come on. You know, I'm sure James Corbett and I are going to talk about that very thing this evening. We'll do it. We're still not able to live stream. We're back out in the desert again. But, you know, we'll get right up right after. And the thing is that, I mean, within an hour, you know, boom, it's up. We'll have the MP4 up on the site and so on this evening. So it'd be, you know, Eastern time. It'd be by, I don't know, 9, 10 o'clock or something. But the, I love our conversations because, I mean, it's real. It's real. What we're really seeing, what's really happening. And it's just, and if you pull your freaking head out of your butt, I mean, off Facebook, farce book, you know, you can actually see what's happening, or you got time to make it happen yourself. My grandson and I went to, he's 10 years old, which is awesome. And they're just, you know, he and his 11-year-old sister and his 8-year-old younger sister and his 5-year-old younger brother, they're all super soccer kids, you know, that kind of thing. So they're athletic. They get socialized and so on. They got a lot of friends, you know, in the neighborhood and such, and they homeschooled. This year they said, nope, we're done. And it was a traditional heritage legacy, whatever the hell it was, school. And did pretty good, but it was, you know, edicts from on high of we got in some mass thing and we're done. You know, their parents said, nah, we're good. You know, and the mom, she's awesome. You know, it's like she's a school teacher. They sit there, they have class, they go through their work, and then she has, you know, like a desk that she does their grading their tests and all that, and you got to work on and do it. They're doing awesome. But let me tell you what's even the most awesome, awesomer of awesome. They read a lot. So I go, you want to read? I'll definitely screw your mind up. So we got, you know, Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew that we had passed to us, even to our children when they were young, you know, friends or somebody that we did. You know, are you homeschooling? You got kids? Well, I got stuff for it. I remember one woman, it was expensive. It was a transparent, probably about a foot, 16 inches long. It was big, transparent plastic, put a 4-stroke engine together. So, yeah, your kids could. I go, well, that's cool, you know, all right. You know, so they kind of get the idea how that goes. Now when you got videos and YouTubes, homeschooling is awesome. You want to know? Watch this. It's just being able to find it or ask the right question. And, of course, one of the 8-year-old, she's all NASA'd up, man. She's going to space and being an astronaut. And you want to do that? So guess what she knows? Starship development. You're going through all that. Let me show you this, and the other kids see and then go through. So we went to the bus, and my grandson wanted to go, and I had already gotten them some books. You guys want to read? I give you stuff to read. So I got them, God, half a dozen books that I knew that they're getting old enough that they can, you know, enjoy them. One was, I think it was like junior, senior in high school, I read Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And it was just about this seagull that wanted to fly fast and get out of conformity with you're only supposed to soar and do kind of, yeah, I want to be a falcon. And then he gets the perfect flight, and then he can, you know, poof, teletransport to planets. And I mean, it gets all weird. Okay. So, you know, it's about, you know, exceeding what's the limitations they have on you kind of thing. So, boom, day and a half, you know, 11-year-old granddaughter, boom, whizzes through that. So then I get, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress by Heinlein for my 10-year-old grandson. You know, he's almost halfway through that thing. I mean, he's getting kind of, they talk kind of funny. You know, they do this caveman talk, Moon, we go, he, you know, there's some parts in there. He kind of, what the heck is going? Yeah, just plow through it, man. And all of a sudden it's a self-aware computer that, because they were talking about, you know, artificial intelligence. And I think, well, you know, it could be for good. You know, the revolution was kind of, you know, helped along by the supercomputer named Mike. That was like, yeah, these guys suck, I decided, and I like this human over here that's a rebel of, you know, let's do it. So reading that, you know, what do you get out of that? I get your mind right. Then James Hogan, Voyage from Yesteryear, which is about they send embryos and robots to a, you know, 30 light year away star that they send it. It takes like 30 years to get there. I don't know how far it was, but they get there, and then they grow up and raised by robots, and then they start, you know, becoming, you know, adults, and they have a society, and then here comes Earth ship of the Alliance cruiser, explain it to you, and now we're in charge, and they're like, eh, maybe not. Well, that was an interesting book. I knew that would get your mind right, you know, around a lot of stuff, and freedom and oriented and so on. So we got that one. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, you know, explain to him. I go, look, 150, 200 years ago this guy's born, and he's imagining nuclear-powered submarines. This is awesome. I remember reading that, you know, as a teenager, going, this is awesome. And then, what do? They have a nuclear submarine in the 50s, goes under the North Pole, and they call it the Nautilus. How could you not want to read that? Got that one. Now there's some others. And then, we talked about it. We'll be right back.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
From
your lies, you're so
uncovering the secret. Exposing lies. Nip. This is, you know, I don't know, good news, bad news, whatever. It's news. You know, make sure you get your mind right. You know, I get an email here from Ghost Gunner, you know, because I'm on the list. And they go, and we're down. You know, we're so sorry. It's, we got, you know, the grid is down in Texas, and we won't be a-making. Extreme weather has produced a grid failure in Texas, and our factory will be idle for the rest of the week, hopefully by Sunday, blah, blah. You can still do, you know, by email, customer and technical support of yada, yada. But production of Ghost Gunners to make some my private gun, you know, she be down. the government, the date, they close it. No, Mama Nature did. It said, boom, it's global warming. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, no, it's not global warming. Global freeze your ass off. So this is, you know, what we've been predicting. And I remember we had Dr. Tim Ball on over the years. He's, you know, all right, it goes like this. Tim Ball is a meteorologist out of Canada. Then he's like going, I'm calling BS on this global warming stuff. These guys don't know what the heck they're talking about. You want to talk warming? I live in Canada. Let me tell you about warming. It is warm and then it's not. And it's going to get worse. And there was a woman, I remember, good friends of mine, Ken and Fran, you know, Kent and Fran, they go, you need to talk to this woman. She was an astrophysicist. It may have been this Sally, I can't remember her name, but Tim Ball, if you go to the last couple of shows that I did with him, he knew her name. He knew what happened. And it was 2005, so this is 15 years ago. Had her on. Harvard astrophysicist says, I don't know what the heck they're talking about because the sun is starting to dial down. It's going to get colder fast, a lot. And she goes, and I remember her saying something about the Thames. She goes, when the River Thames in London starts to freeze over and you start getting ice on the Thames, ain't going to be hiding it anymore. Well, that just happened this weekend. They started to freeze over. And I'm like, oh, that tell you everything you need to know. Because the Gulf Stream, we were talking to Barry Kerwin from Ireland, and he goes, yeah, we don't get that much snow. Hardly ever get snow in Great Britain area up there because the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream, what they found out when they were going to the New World is that they fight the Gulf Stream going across the northern part, going straight from London straight over to New England. You know, it took longer than just sailing down, you know, almost the coast of Africa and then coming up through the Caribbean because of the circle of the current, and it would go faster. And they go, man, we can do some more trade and drop off here and pick up there and do and deliver us some goods and slaves. You know, that was a slave trade route kind of stuff too. And then, of course, when they're going back to England, boom, teletransport and, you know, I don't know, half the time or something. So all right. So that Gulf Stream bringing the warm weather water from the Caribbean is what keeps them warm. Well, it'd be cold now. You know, of course, they'll say, yeah, see, it's all part of global warming. Yeah, that's what did it. You know, I'm like, oh, God, shut up. Give it a rest. Well, it's the sun. And she was saying, she goes, so whenever they did, I remember at Bank One Ballpark, you know, the Diamondbacks has this, you know, big giant, oh my God, stadium. And then they had, you know, the Suns Arena, America West Arena, you know, for the Phoenix Suns downtown. I think it was at the Suns Arena. They had a big Al Gore came. This was 2010, around in there. And they came and they were making a bunch of signs out at the headquarters, you know, at the Freeman's Phoenix workshop that we had. And they go, what do you want your side? You going to go or not? I go, nah, I don't care. You know, I had other stuff to do, like grandkids or something. And they go, well, what do you want your sign to say? And I go, I want one sign to say what happens when it gets cold. Just asking the question, what happens when it gets cold? Well, that's all part of global warming. You know, you got to go. I'm like, right. You know, so now you have unprecedented. You bring it down just a few degrees here and there, and some all of a sudden, boom, the polar vortex starts coming down, is dropping, and then, and glad you live in Arizona. The rest of the freaking country, the southwest, southeast, Florida, southwestern desert here, Arizona, Southern California, it's kind of, you know, sucks to be y'all. Don't even know, man, it's nice weather. I'm going, ooh, man, put on a sweatshirt, you know, and you're good. Sweater. You know, we were out at Mammoth Mine. You know, it's called Goldfield, and I'll tell you about it a little bit. But so you see this, and this is exactly what she was saying. When the River Thames starts to freeze over, everybody will know. Do you know now? Because 150, 200 years ago or so, they'd have ice festivals on the Thames. You know, you'd be out there in London, you go, woohoo, and there'd be vending lots and stuff on the river. You know, skating around, playing on the snow, having an open space there, the markets of, go buy me some, I don't know, whatever, meat or something. So this is not new. And who knows this? The monarchies. They got records of back in the, you know, and let me tell you what happens when this happens. People go hungry, bow, 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 and they come after you. You know, this is kind of, we got something. We got to get rid of some peoples. That's what we'll do. Here's a shot. Oh, none of this stuff is interrelated. No, they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. I'm like, oh, man, you guys are killing me. So I this was predicted. We've talked about it on this show before. Astrophysicist from Harvard said, you know, and what happened? Tim Ball said that she was beaten out of academia. They're like, oh, hell no. You are so not allowed to hell no. You're a heretic against the religion of. So I don't know what happened to her. We'll follow up on that. I get some time. We'll be following up on that. Certainly as it starts to get even more and this winter goes. Because that's one thing, Ice Age Farmer, what's he keeping track of? In Canada, you lose 6 days in the growing season. That changes everything. Changes the weather. It's more mud. You can't get out in the thing and to be able to even plant. You got a little bit of week here and a little bit of week there. Pretty soon you're up to like a month of dad. You don't get one of the crops. You're one entire crop out. They call it winter wheat. I remember in certainly here you got winter crops of everything. Hell, in the summer you can't grow anything. It's freaking radiation anvil of bam 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 beats it in the ground. But the but you had water. I mean, it'll grow if you got enough water, and we got plenty of water. That was one thing. You look at the seal of Arizona, and it's a miner. Now, got his mule, his shovel, or whatever. A miner. You have agriculture and ranching. You know that is Arizona. You know it's we take it out of the ground. You don't see a lot of trees, but on the seal. But you got it's farming, it's ranching, and it's mining. That's how it works. Now, Goldfield out in Apache Junction there was a mine called Mammoth Mine. It went like 1,000 feet down. It was a thing. And I was amazed at these little elevators about 3 feet square. They put 9 guys in there to go down for 45 minutes down. I'm like, heck no. Nope. And they had 4 candles. They go 12-hour shift with 4 candles. And they're just sledgehammering these, big rods, has a plus sign at the end. What do they call those? Cross pounder steel things. And they make a hole. They go all 7 feet in, 21 of them. Then they stuff them with dynamite, like 20 sticks of a hole. And they do it. And then they light it, fire in the hole. And you try and get as far away as you can. Boom. Then they send the ore up. And then they got these little piston things that just crush the rock. And they're pulling a bunch of gold out of it. And they hit an aquifer. Went into the side of a lake. They're probably below the surface of the lake, like 1,000 feet. And they broke into one. They went, boom, and then here comes all the water. Damn. They tried pumping it out for a while, and then big monsoon came, filled it up. Later, decades later, they came back and started pumping that out and getting some more gold out. And then the environmental thing said, no more pumping out aquifers and polluting, and you're done. So that closed it. And then they made a tourist attraction and ghost town and do all this and zip line and you get the pan for gold and you get your Western picture taken and you get the, go on the mine tour and you learn all this stuff and everything. It's awesome for the children's. And let me tell you what was going on. They had everybody got to wear a mask, get a mask, mask. The only time they ever said anything was when we wanted to go in and buy a cactus in a pot and some mask not girls like you're not allowed. The rest of the whole thing, the tours, the zip lines, little mystery house, everything, going to the restaurant, that, no mask. Probably 70, 80% of the people, no mask. My grandson and I go, so what are we going to do if they're going to make us wear a mask? We're not going in. I go, okay, cool. I want to make sure we're on the same page here. Got to do everything except buy cactus in a little pot. It's changing. And what have we learned? We got a homeschool dad. Woohoo! While he's reading in the car the whole time, the moon is a hard mystery. You feel me? It's Generation Next. These kids are the Phoenix Rising from the ashes. In fact, his soccer team is named Phoenix Rising. Huh? How serendipitous is that?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, undefeated here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and you know, warm. It's not cold. Southwest of Arizona. Yep, we got west of Phoenix here, about an hour out in Tonopah in the desert, next to the Palo Verde nuclear power station. So. We'd have electricity if it wasn't for it was already solar. So, yeah, you know, wind turbines, they're froze over in Texas, man. They have a lot of wind turbines. And they ain't making no power now. This is going to be it hadn't affected us. We're like, oh, wow, look at those maps. All those people are probably cold. That must suck for you, you know. But this is going to be a thing. Arizona is going to be, man, I don't know. If it was cold this year, will it be cold next year? And how long is this going to last? How will it affect the food supply? What if you're living in Canada? Well, that might not be good. You know, well, Maxim Smith, you know, last I checked, he was in the Denver area. I'll say hello to Maxim Smith. He's a host of Maxim Smith YouTube channel. Maxim Smith, man, that sounds like you made that up. But I don't think he did. That's what his daddy named him, Maxim Smith. Sounds like a great, you know, influencer name. That's cool. He got into politics due to many instances of leftist propaganda being taught at his school. Maxim is now trying to warn many students and parents about the infiltration of leftist ideas into school. Channel now has over 5,800 subscribers. Wow, I was like, I don't know, 20-something. And when he first started, I'm like, this is cool. So it was, you know, Teens for Trump at just a boink him or something, whatever. And then it's Maxim Smith's YouTube channel, but it's kind of the same, you know, focus. It was just what they're trying to do to the future culture of America. You know, here's February 15th. Black communism is being taught in elementary school kids. Christopher Rufo exposes more schools. So he did a show on that. Black communism now being taught this, whatever that means, we're going to find out. AOC almost died. Oh, my God. You know, occasional cortex almost died. And I know the controversy wasn't even there. I don't care. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Just keep talking. You know, her and Schumer just keep yakking. Just let them talk. They just keep digging the hole. I don't care. But Maxim Smith tells us what's up. Leftist admits he's indoctrinated and racist. You know, whatever that means. Why we all need to be self-reliant. All right. That's the one. That's February 2nd. I want to talk about that one first. But first, Maxim Smith, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am more than wonderful. You know, this is, we got like a second and a half delay because of the Zoom and the bandwidth and so on. So it might be a little bit of a delay. But what I want to hear is when you started this, you know, why you called it Teens for Trump and how that went and when you made the change and how it's grown and your focus and, you know, the comment section and the interface that you have with people that listen in the comments and everything. Tell me every little old thing go.
When I started the channel at first, I had it as Teens for Trump because I was trying to get actually more teenagers to come and join the channel and so we would all work on it. But after a while, I noticed that because of that name I had, YouTube was censoring me because of it. And so I had to change it. Still now, the YouTube algorithm, I don't get in it at all. So my videos get shared only to a small amount of people. But that's the main reason why I changed the channel name a while back. And today, I've really been, you mentioned the Black Communism video. That one was crazy, and that was something I wanted to talk about today, which was this book I've been reading lately. It's called Dumbing Us Down from John Taylor Gatto.
Whoa, that sent you down the rabbit hole. Okay, now we're Now, where did you even hear of that book? How did you know to do that one?
I think my dad told me about John Taylor Gatto and how he has a couple different books about education. And he was John Taylor Gatto was a teacher for 30 years. So he has experience with this.
He was teacher of the year,
reading this
book. In New York City. I mean, the guy, man, how'd you do it? You know, John Taylor Gatto spoke at our Freedom Summits. We know. And the fact that you came, I want to spend some time on that. And we're going to hit the break here pretty soon. But, you know, the influence, I want you to share with the audience, you know, you start reading his stuff, you know, as a, how old are you, 15, 16?
15.
15. At 15 years old, you're reading John Taylor Gatto. What was the biggest impact it had on, what did you realize? How far into it did you go, damn, we're being programmed? You know, before we get into what the black communism thing, I want to get the impression that another kid, a teenager, reading that book, what do you think the impact's going to be on them?
Well, the biggest thing I noticed in the book is that everything he says is true. I expressed these ideas, or at least I tried to, my parents throughout being in not just public school, but private school as well, because I've come to realize that they're both very, very similar. And that, yes, private school is a bit fancier, but it really has the same principles as public school, and how it's, I guess we could get into this after the break, but how the main point of this schooling is to confuse people. And that's one of the things he talks about in his book, is how everything is confusing, everything's out of context. In history class, you jump from ancient Egypt to World War II with no context at all. You don't know why you're learning it. In math class, instead of doing the easiest way to solve a problem, you instead go to the most difficult, useless way to solve a problem, and it takes much longer. And we never learn why in school, both public and private school. We never learn why we're learning something. And most of the time, we don't want to learn any of it because it's not fun for us. And I've noticed after homeschooling for a while, I'm learning so much more when I can have a lot more choice of what I'm learning. And so I've just come to the conclusion that this both public and private school might not be worth it, and that homeschooling or a trade school is much better.
What trade would you have somebody says, you can be my apprentice, come over here and pound on, you know, this anvil, you know, make a horseshoe. I mean, whatever. What do you think that you would learn? How would you do that? I'm with you, brother. I'm, you know, this is our kids. They learned a lot. I mean, we were like, you know, I'm taking them to actually learn something. Take a break from that. We're going to go learn something. You got to get permission slip and go and beg the school to allow you to take your kid out of school to go learn something. And I'm like, no, I'm not even, you're lucky I even tell you I got them. Don't worry about it. And I'll come because I said that's why, you know. So what would be something that you would like to learn?
I mean, when it comes to a trade, I would learn any one of those things because since I'm only 15, I can't work. I try to get a job at Chick-fil-A, but because the laws, I can't. So I would really do any of those trades.
Hey, make your own business. You know, but that not a lemonade stand, you go to jail. You know, this is interesting that you go through. How far are you into Gatto's book?
In about 30 pages. Oh,
I didn't take long, did it? Okay. All right. We'll be right back with Maxim Smith. You know, this is interesting. Getting at 15 years old, getting, you know, dumbing this down. You know, the John Taylor Gatto book, which there's so many resources on John Taylor Gatto, which is his speech that he gave that is New York.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
With YouTube influencer, and if not, you know, a lot now, it soon will be, Maxim Smith. Maxim Smith. Awesome name, man. Maxim Smith. So Maxim is now exposed to John Taylor Gatto, so forever will that influence the rest of your life. But fortunately, he's gone through this. He was trying to expose and express exactly what John Taylor, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that maybe in the comment section you mention it and they're going, you haven't read John Taylor Gatto? You need to read John Taylor Gatto. Oh my God, it's a John Taylor Gatto thing. But if you do that first, well, then you're just parodying them. You're channeling them. You know, you need to have the experience. You need to go through it yourself first so that you can then him help you articulate what you already know. That's a better way. Because if you were to be influenced, then you're just, you know, channeling John Taylor Gatto, you know, at 15. You know, this is way better. But when you got exposed to it, then you're like, damn. So to express to the people over time, you're just starting to get exposed to what he's been saying. What do you think the warning is? What is it that, you know, is trying to be done by whom for what? Why?
Well, I guess the warning is that school may not be worth it overall. Because I've had a lot of people, when I'm making my videos, a lot of people in comments say, well, you can just go to a private school because those are better. But because I've been in public school, private school, and I'm now homeschooled, I can see the difference between all of them. And really, for the most part, private school and public school are very similar in the way that everything is taught. It's all confusing. Like I said, it's all supposed to be out of context so that you'd never really learn anything, nor do you want to learn anything. I mean, everyone that I've talked to, there's only been one kid that likes going to school. There's always just that one kid at school that likes going to school. Everybody else does not like it at all. We're forced to go there. No one likes it. No one learns anything. I mean, maybe we learn some math. That's important. But if we learn everything out of and we have no use for it, then it's just not worth it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's
but
yeah, it's not worth it. What do you mean? What's not worth it? What are you trying to get to begin with? What do you think the purpose of education is, and what's actually they're doing at public private school? You know, what do you think this is all about?
Well, for example, in this book, he talks about how in the 1780s, there was in Massachusetts, the literacy rate was 98% without any schools. But when the schools compulsory schooling came in, it never exceeded at that point until 1991, I think. It never exceeded 90%. So after the schools came in and it spread across the country, everything went down. Literacy rates went down. Most kids can't do math. Most kids can't write their names. Most kids can't read in America. And not only that, but the Black Communism video I made, the kids had a 13% literacy rate at that school. 13%. So it's not an isolated event. It's all across the country. And he also talks about in this book how kids that don't go to school are 5 to 10 more years ahead of their peers that go to compulsory schools. So it's after looking at all of this and hearing what he has to say and experiencing that same thing, I've seen that private school and public school aren't worth it in the sense that they're supposed to. We all get told by our parents, You have to go and learn. You have to go and learn how to read and write.
Stay in school.
I learned how to read from my dad. I learned how to read from my dad. I learned how to write from my parents. And then I would come home from school and have all this homework and not learn anything. Now, that could just be a personal experience, but it's just crazy to see the difference between these types of schools and homeschooling. And how I've learned so much more from homeschool.
Yeah, I was at my son's home, and my daughter-in-law, you know, they homeschool. And the five-year-old, as they, you know, everybody does their stuff, and they have a, you know, a laminated sheet, and it has, I don't know, like four columns of words. It's like 25, so it's like 100 words. And, you know, I, they, them, those, go, with, stop, whatever the heck it is, you know. And the five-year-old sitting there going through, and he's sitting there reading them all. And I'm like, you rock, you little genius. Because mom just sitting there going through words. He wants to play. He wants to, you know, be like the other kids. He wants to be, and they're all reading. How much reading do you do? You got a, you know, favorite genre or books that you do, or you're just all YouTubed up?
I like reading sometimes. If it's something that I'm into, like the John Taylor Gatto books, stuff like that, I'll read a lot.
You know, there are Richard Grove from tragedyandhope.com. You know, tragedy, andhope.com, and Richard Grove did interviews with John Taylor Gatto before he died. And I mean, it's hours of, you know, that, you know, this is how it really works. You know, when you get done with the books and everything, that may be of interest to you. I mean, he was, you know, pretty old by then, but he still had, he wanted to explain it to you what this thing was all about. So that's like your graduate studies when you get done with the books and everything, and just, you know, where somebody, you know, you always go, why? Why did they? Why? Well, he tells you. And this is, you know, I'm really happy you're going down. Forever will this dominate your path to find out, you know, you get behind the curtain and go, damn, they're doing this on purpose. And did you ever get that feeling before you started reading Gatto's work? Are you kind of like, this is on purpose?
Well, most of the time I would just focus on the indoctrination, so I knew that was on purpose. But after reading this book, it's clear to me that it's not just the indoctrination, and that school hasn't been good for a very long time, and I don't think it has ever been good. This compulsory schooling has really never been good. So it's crazy to see.
I like apprenticeships. I mean, you do, see, it's the unions or it's somebody else in some collective of control of something. I don't know, you know, I'm sure they got a why, but yeah, a 15-year-old kid, there's not hardly anything that, yeah, certainly as you get big and strong and testosterone explains it to everybody, you can do the job of just about anybody. You know, you may have, you know, have the maturity level of, you know, freaking pay attention or, you know, quit looking at the girl or something, you know, but that a lot of those problems are because you're not treated like an adult. As kids, our kids were treated as adults the whole time. So by the time they started going through puberty and they get into the rebellion or whatever, my job was done. You're not changing. Once they lock in with hormones, they're done. You know, that you better have had it right then, because you're not going to fix it then. You know, they're 16 years old. Oh, you're doing it wrong. Let me fix you. No, that ain't happening. They're fixed way before that, you know. So this is, this whole society, hopefully through the hard times that are coming, people grow to F up. And it's time to grow up. Well, Maxim Smith is going to be helping his generation grow up. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Growing up.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With Maxim Smith. Maxim Smith, YouTube influencer. And I'm wondering, your channel, it's getting more and more popular. You've got thousands of subscribers now. You know, and I'm going, they monetizing you? They're going to let you make a living out of, you know, telling people what's up and mention the word John Taylor Gatto, which is a freaking explosive, you're not allowed word. So I'm just wondering what your future on YouTube is.
I am monetized, but they don't monetize a lot of the videos or the titles or what I say in them. So I technically am, but most of the videos aren't monetized.
Wait. How does that work? Are you saying there's like somebody that just flipped the switch, the dial, and you're not allowed?
Well, they can do that, but they can also look through the titles and the thumbnails, and they can see what you say in the video. And if they don't like it, then they can choose not to monetize it.
Really? Well, Who chooses that?
Yeah. I'm not sure why it is, but I don't know who chooses to do it, but it's I've seen it with even bigger channels than mine.
Oh no, they do it. They're doing it. I'm just wondering if they say anything to you about it. They're going, now you know you're being naughty, or are you just on the naughty list already and you're done?
Yeah, I think you're supposed to get emails about what's wrong with this video or what's wrong with that one, why you have this one up or stuff like that.
Do you have
I haven't gotten it.
Do you have other channels that you're doing? Are you replicating this? You got a web page? You got another platform? How else are you doing it?
Really just that one YouTube channel. That's
Slacker, you need to get on somewhere out of your own channel or save the MP4 and start now, man. Start now. You're going to wish you had this stuff. Are you scraping it, or do you have the videos stored somewhere, what you uploaded? Are you at least organizing it when they take it down, because they will take it down?
Well, actually, now that I think about it, I do have Odyssey, Rumble, and BitChute as well to upload to.
Okay, well, are you sending it to BitChute and Rumble and so on?
Yes, I think they upload automatically. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I think more of you now. I was beginning to think less of you. I was like, what are you kidding me? You're counting on YouTube? All right, so that's good. Now, this is the black communist thing. Tell me what you're learning there. What does that mean?
I'm still not sure what black communist means, and I think that's still part of it, how you have all these strange words that they use, and they don't really mean anything. There's no meaning behind it, but they still use it because it's confusing. It's easier to indoctrinate people when something sounds good, even though to a more educated person, communism is not a good thing. But they like to use these words that are confusing because they're very vague, and they use them over and over again. And with little kids, it's easy to indoctrinate them. And that's what they had in the video, was they had the little kids say, go up with signs onto the stage and have a black power protest, I think is what they called it. And their signs were saying stuff like, free Angela Davis, who is a woman convicted for murder, black power, hashtag black power, all that stuff they were having on signs up on stage and forcing these kids to do. And that was part of the curriculum. And that was the same school that had a 13% literacy rate.
Wow.
So I think that shows a lot.
You know, there's one thing. I'm going to have Donna put it in the second hour of today's archive. It was James Clavell it's called A Children's Story. And it's like the day after, they take over. You know, the day after Biden gets elected kind of thing. And the teachers come in and they're explaining why, you know, your ne'er-do-well fathers that weren't with the program got arrested in the re-education camp kind of deal. And it shows how in America the children were dying. And this was done in 70s, 80s or something during the Cold War. This is, you know, it was a play. It was only like 20 minutes they did. And it was scary as hell, exactly what you're talking about. And if you did... let me try it here. James Clavell. Go ahead and do this for me. Type in James Clavell, C-L-A-V-E-L-L, children's story. See if it just comes up. Because I want that, Donna, put that one that we have, publisher recommended on Freedom's Phoenix, to go into the second hour archive so everybody knows to have that. This is what... You know, how easy it is to, in one day classroom, you know, it's just one day, and you'll see, yeah, there it is, the children's story part one, and it goes through more. I'm going to put in Freedom's Phoenix, too, and you'll find, because we got it set up right. Freedoms Phoenix. Of course, it depends what browser you're using and if you're allowed to even look. I'm doing DuckDuckGo here. But the children's story. But anyway, James Clavell children's story. You'll see that. And it is a scary example of how easily and how fast, and it's always kind of the fifth grade thing. It's before puberty. It's before you lock in with your hormones and so on. Did anything come up for you, Maxim?
Yes, I'm on the Freedoms Phoenix page right now.
Okay, you found the children's story? It came up?
Yes.
Okay. A children's story. Donna, put that in the second hour archive. And you watch that. It's only like 20 minutes. And that will have a forever impact on you, like John Taylor Gatto stuff. This is James Clavell is a guy. Who is it? Yeah, he's the one that wrote Jaws, you know? So it's. No, that was Peter Benchley. Wait a minute. No, Clavell did Shogun and. God, what was some of the other books that he did? A bunch of stuff. So you read him and you'll start to understand he's a top end author. He's like, you know, big, you know, author of America and a lot of hit books and bestsellers and so on. And he did this short play that was sponsored by Mobil, you know, oil. It was against, you know, damn Ruskies, but it's so applicable to what's going on now. And it shows you how quickly, especially with young minds that are moldable like this. So when did you start to feel that you were all through school, you were kind of thinking something was off, or did you just come to this realization now?
Now I'm seeing it a bit clearer, but I always had this view that something was a bit off for sure. Whether it was private school or public school, I've been to both. There was always something a bit strange with it. It was like we were being forced, literally, to go to school. Otherwise, you know, if we don't go, our parents get arrested for that. And that's just insane to me. And then we go there, and we barely learn anything. Nobody wants to learn, yet we have to learn something, whatever it is. And it's all confusing. It's strange. But yes, I've always had some idea that something was off.
Okay, have you read 1984?
I have not, but I definitely should.
That was required reading when I was in junior high. 1984, Animal Farm, Lord of the Flies. I mean, all this kind of stuff was regular reading. Hell, Edgar Allan Poe. I mean, you know, Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer. I mean, these are things that were required. Now they're not allowed. And you read 1984, you're going to find out why. They're like, no. That's our user manual. So this is I'm really excited about you, Nick, discovering John Taylor Gatto at this age and sharing your perspective with your audience. And when we come back, I want to find out about who's his audience. You know, what are they saying in the comments? Is it more criticism? They got a bunch of teachers in there going, nuh-uh. We'll find out.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And Maxim Smith. Donna's putting that story. She's got it, and it's loading up. It's just the site's slow and kind of, you know, stuff going on. That was another thing, man. I'm telling you, you know, the Internet's getting funky. You know, our email is hacked twice in a day. Cox turned it off saying suspicious, somebody trying to whatever the heck. And we're going through that, and there's not going on. Of course they are. And this is our dependency on a lot of this stuff, even emails. That's one thing, communicating with the people. I want to know what kind of people you think your audience is, Maxim. You know, in the comments, you got some teacher trolls in there. You don't know what you're talking about. Oh, no, he said Gatto, kryptonite. I mean, you know, tell me how the community in your comments section, what's going on?
A lot of them are kids, actually, as well. I've gotten some emails, some messages from a lot of my viewers. One of them I just got the other day. They were in ninth grade, and they were telling me how they like what I do and to keep it up and that they agree with a lot of what I say. So a lot of my viewers are around my age. A lot of them are in their 20s and 30s as well. But I have gotten some teachers that get mad at me for saying that I don't like these teachers. So it's funny to see, but yeah, mainly it is a younger audience.
Well, the teachers, what's their main complaint? Are they monitoring you so they can report you to the YouTube overlords or something? I mean, why are they even there?
Their main complaint, which I try to make clear every time I criticize these teachers, I always make sure to say, yes, I know it's not all teachers that are like this, but that's always their main complaint, is that I'm kind of crapping on teachers most of the time. So they just say, well, I'm a teacher and it's not all teachers. And then I go, yes, I understand. It's not all teachers. And I clearly said that, but that's the main complaint.
Yeah, they're trying to give the impression that it doesn't exist or it's not a thing, or, I mean, are they acknowledging that some teacher, they're just trying to say, not me or something? I mean, what are they saying? It doesn't exist. You're wrong on the all counts, or it's just not every teacher. It's not them. What's their argument?
They don't really have an argument. They just try to say that it's not all teachers and that some of them get upset about it. But they don't really have an argument. They just try to hammer in the fact that it's not all teachers, even though I know it's not all teachers. I've had plenty of good teachers. It's just they're few and far between. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I remember, you know, I had pretty good experience with some teachers, but a lot of them, yeah. I'm so glad that you're doing this. What do you think the future is? You're going to continue to go down this road? I mean, you're young. I mean, heck, you can focus on, you know, this aspect of interfacing with kids in school of all kind for freaking, you can teach for another 4 years. I mean, hell, you know, you got a future. What do you think you're going to do with the opportunity?
Right now, the one thing that I know for sure is that I'm going to keep going after these schools, not just public school, but private school as well, because after reading the John Taylor Gatto book and then seeing so much evidence of not just the social justice curriculum indoctrination, but the normal indoctrination, the indoctrination that has become normal over time, the dumbing down of people, that's important to me.
You know, one thing, when I first started doing radio in 03, I remember thinking, I'm going, nobody ever asks why anymore. Nobody, you know, why? You know, oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Why? Nobody asks why. And sure as hell, nobody answers it. You know, and then they're like, oh, you're just being, you know, obtuse or something. And you bring on some politician, I ask why. I tell them, during the interview, I'm going to ask why three times. You know, there's going to be three different, you're going to do whatever, and I ask why. And then they'll go, yeah, blah, blah, and they'll rattle on. And I go, uh-huh, why? And they can't, certainly not for three times. They got, you know, like some bullet point that Rush Limbaugh told them, or the, you know, DNC gave them a card or a slogan or something like that. And, you know, uh-huh, why? And then you get to about the third why, and they explode because they don't know why. They're just indoctrinated. They're just repeating something. You know, what do you think education is for? Or whatever the hell they call it, education. I mean, you have youth learning to become adults, you know, something. I mean, what's that for? Why do you do it?
I mean, I don't know what education is for nowadays. I don't see a good reason to still go to private school or public school. Because not only do we have the social justice, Black Lives Matter stuff in schools, the black communism, all of that, not only do we have that, but we now I can see clearly that it's not just that, but kids aren't learning anything. Kids are being forced to apparently learn something. I don't even know. Because I've seen their schools, both private and public, jump from completely random things which have no meaning to any of these kids in the class. And it's all confusing. It's very, very strange. But John Taylor Gatto lays it out very well. He's much better at it at explaining it than I am, that's for sure. But I think it's meant to dumb people down, like you said.
There is a speech that he gave. You probably look it up. Let me push the button. You go, John Taylor Gatto speech. Thanks. Donna says that movie's up. New York, whatever. So I put that in. That speech was like, you know, standard reading material for any activist or anything. Yep. It says John Gatto Teacher of the Year Acceptance Speech. You know, look that up. You know, John Gatto Teacher of the Year Acceptance Speech. In that speech in January of 1990, he goes, let me tell you what's really going on. And here it's Acceptance Speech of Teacher of the Year. He goes, let me tell you how I became Teacher of the Year. I didn't do any of your crap. That's how I became Teacher of the Year, you know, because you guys suck. That's what, you know, Teacher of the Year is. And this is, you know, not a short speech. And he's just like, he laid it out. This was my first introduction to John Taylor Gatto. And anybody who was a freedom-oriented activist or anything, you know, read this. You know, I can read parts of it, but I encourage you to do this. This will sum it up. You might, you know, want to certainly make this part of your reading, and it'll take you, I don't know, 20 minutes to do it or something. But this is my first exposure to him by people that really were emphasizing this before the internet. You know, they were printing this out. This is getting faxed everywhere. This was, you know, people would print this out and have stacks. We had like 1,000 copies of this in, you know, boxes that we would hand out. I mean, this realization of what's really going on was a revelation for many, and dumbing us down was, you know, a big part of that. So, and he was, his hit personal history. Yeah, there's so much you get to learn. I'm so glad that you're doing this, and you do this research and you start sharing it with your audience at your age. They start going down this road, it's over. And it's what a lot of us, you know, been trying to do, but we can't do what you do because you're 15 and smart and exposed and understand and have a dad that can help you out and some activist friends like me that can help pimp and whatever and onward soldier, man. Let's go kick some ass. You ready, Maxim?
Yes, sir. I am ready.
Yeah, this is good. You let me know what we can do to help promote and so on, but you're making me nervous kind of putting all your eggs in the YouTube basket, man. That's, you know, I vote no. You know, and then, you know, our IPFS thing that we're doing is for guys just like you to get this stuff over. We can pull all your videos and make sure that they're archived forever and always. Tell you what, you do a really good long form, all research, read this letter, get done with his book and do a nice video of whatever, and we'll put it up on the forever and pimp the crap out of it. Deal?
Deal, yes.
Done. This is how it happens. Now it starts. This is what we're going to do. This is how we can help. We're getting to the end of the show here. But I tell you, you know, Maxim, you know, you do this. You go through this. You want to share this. You need to spend some time on it. And I will pimp the living crap out of that video everywhere. Maxim Smith, 15 years old, got exposed to John Taylor, got two, and is accepted speech as Teacher of the Year in New York. You know, and he said, let me explain to you what's really going on. And the book said, oh, hell yeah. Man, a whole new age, a new level, a new audience that is now going to know Maxim Smith on YouTube.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Independence to me, Ernest Hancock. Another independence declaring kind of individual. Dr. Judy Mikovits, lots to get caught up on. You know, stuff be happening. Stuff be happening around the country. This is, you know, let's talk about, you know, there's so many things to talk about. All right, Dr. Judy, what are some of the things you want to make sure we get in today? And then I got a list. You know, what's up?
Well, the most important thing we're doing is trying to educate everyone. Please don't take any of these shots. These COVID shots are not vaccines. They're gene therapy. They're toxic chemotherapy. We're seeing tremendous injury and death, you know, not necessarily on the first shot with the healthy, but for the susceptible. It's making people very, very sick. We're trying to do everything we can to teach people that, you know, if you've already seen the virus, that is, if you've even had any evidence like one of those PCR test positives, you can have something called antibody-dependent enhancement or pathogenic priming. If your immune system's already seen the virus, you're primed to react and not in a good way. You're not developing immunity. You're developing autoimmunity. So you're going to begin attacking your own tissues. And that shot goes in every cell of the body. We won't know what happens.
Okay, now that seems kind of intentional. I mean, if they know this, and you've got an autoimmune, everything's autoimmune. Everything's inflammatory. Everything has. It seems like that's where pharmaceutical companies are going, ooh, we'd be making us some money. So this is, I mean, for lack of a better term, it seems intentional what they're doing.
It absolutely is intentional, especially when the medical community is going out there saying this. You know, tweets and things like, I'm here to protect. I'm a doctor. My job is to protect people. Look, I'm going to go take it myself. Oh, look, and you're seeing, you know, I'm going to take it myself, and my job is to protect my cancer patients. Your cancer patients already have an immune dysfunction, and if they're on any kind of therapy, they have no immune system. How can you inject a toxic synthetic pathogen, is synthetic pathogen that doesn't break up, that doesn't do what a normal virus does? You're injecting it into every cell of the body. And this is, and we're seeing those very doctors die, have miscarriages, have severe injuries. So the doctors taking these shots, and then they have willful ignorance where they turn around and say, this shot has nothing to do with why I lost my baby. Well, you better realize that you'll probably never have another one because the shot will make you sterile as well. There's so much here that is willful ignorance, and a medical community that is being paid, you know, literally to hurt their patients. And as my friend Professor Cahill says over in Europe, this is medical malfeasance. Even making money on those tests, making money on this bad advice, if you don't make certain somebody really has that virus or had that virus and you give them that shot, at least there are good doctors out there. One of my doctor friends in Seattle, Dr. Susan, she's out there and she insists if her patients demand this shot, oh, I've got to get it, oh, I've got to get it, oh, I've got to get it, then what she says is fine. I'm giving you a full immune workup. So you can't say you didn't know the damage this can do. Your compromised immune system, your auto-inflammatory disease, anyone with an allergy. The package insert says if you have an allergy, 50% of the country has an allergy or asthma. You shouldn't be taking a shot. And you shouldn't be wearing a mask. So she, at least doctors, some doctors are fighting back, but they're exhausted. So we're here to help them.
Well, that's one way, you know, we can share with people something that's useful. How are you helping them? You know, these different summits and seminars. When we did the Vaccine Education Summit in it was fall of 16, then we did it a few years later in 19. Well, now they're, you know, popping up all over the place where we were like the only ones. But I know what happened to us. You know, you get, you know, the press is going to call. They got some young thing going, well, don't you know that Dr. Judy is an FBI most wanted, you know, freaking got a reward or something. I mean, you know, I'm going, man, you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about, do you? So they would turn reporters into activists or try. They didn't know who they were talking to. They're trying to, you know, get me to tell. Oh, well, if I don't invite her, will you like give us a good review or something? I'm like, oh my goodness. So I know that these other. But they were doing the same thing. They try and defame you on wherever or have something to say about something. But now it's just getting it just exposed to them for the obvious shills they are. So is that still happening? These seminars and so on, they're trying to downplay or they'll say, you know, write articles and make fun of it or trying to discredit or something, or are they just trying to be quiet and not even mention it?
Oh, no, they're more ever attacking us. Think you might know Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was off of Instagram. They took Del Beatrice's show down the highway. He's currently banned from these various platforms. You know, that doesn't bother me. I've been banned forever. So, as you know, so no, they're just ramping it up. So now it's not only me, it's everyone that talks to us. But, you know, as we know, you know, if you're not being persecuted, they're not hearing you. So we're just ramping it up. Last week, I was on Pastor Rob McCoy at Godspeak Church's fireside chat Thursday night, and I'll send you a link to it. But it was actually funny because I walked in and he said, okay, Judy, here's the game plan. We can't say the V word. We can't say the C-19 word. We can't say anything because they're just looking to take us off. And he just prides himself. And so he said, go give them 5 slides or a couple of slides and we'll have it there and we'll read it. The audience can see it and YouTube can't hear the buzzwords or whoever they're that whatever platform they're on and take it down. And it was fabulously fun and so many people saw the show they're actually buoying all of our spirit because we know we're winning. Because now it's 2 masks, you know, old brother. You think people are really that dumb? They might.
They went from 2 masks to 3 masks in less than 3 days. I was like, are you kidding me? Now, there was one, I remember. I'm sorry, go ahead.
My nephew sent me a test and said, why don't we just put the plastic bag over our head, tighten it up, and get it over with.
You know, the one thing you were talking pre-show that there is a copper-silver mask. Tell us about that. What are you talking about?
So we've been promoting because I work with cancer patients and the immune compromised. We know the immune compromised are more susceptible to infection. That's true every year. So when we wrote the book last year, The Case Against the Mask, Why Mask Use Should Be Limited, we also did our homework. And we looked at companies who were supporting cancer patients, not just today or yesterday, but for years. And we found somebody introduced us to a company called True 47.
Okay, we're going into break. And that music, I don't want to miss it. So True 47, when we come back, Dr. Judy Mikovits is going to tell you every little old thing about it and the future of, you know, we're getting learnified. I tell you what I think when we come back. I got some revelation of see if Dr. Judy agrees when we come back here in just a little bit.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Judy Mikovits, PhD. You know, here at plaguethebook.com. Plague the book. Plague and Plague of Corruption. You go plaguethebook.com, you'll find all the goodies. And I and Dr. Judy has been fearless. We've done everything. She's so kind to us to give us this time because she's in demand. Although, now we knew she would be. I mean, we're, you know, she and I both, you know, early on go, yeah, you know what's coming, right? You know, this guy, yeah, well, here we are. And it's based on a lot of things that you knew was going to happen. You know, you're going to have, you know, it's like, you got to get it now, offer in soon, you got to get it now, you're going to sit there and do, we'll pop the champagne cork if you'll just do it, got it now, get the shot now, because if you don't now, you're going to die and whatever. So they got, you know, what's the hurry? They go, no, got to do it now, you know, and then you have all these things that are going to start happening. Because before, decades were making sure that you You know, you're creating clients. You're getting, you're having all these problems. Big Pharma's making some money, and now they're just going for the kill shot. You know, Donna wants one of the signs to be the kill shot, you know, and have a hypodermic, the kill shot. You know, I'm going, okay. You know, so I guess we're doing that one too. But before we get into that, and I want to talk about fertility that's being a problem, the pathogenic prepping of getting you for the next shot kind of thing. We'll do that. But I wanted to finish up on the mask. So the mask, there are some that may work. You know, and now hospitals are starting to go to all the hand fixtures and everything should be, you know, copper or you know, a little bit of silver in them or something, you know, all these surfaces and everything. There are solutions for this. You know, grandma, you know, knew what was up, silver spoon in your mouth kind of stuff. So talk to us about these masks that you think might be effective that they're using for, like, cancer patients that are having their immune system suppressed. They really do have an issue. What are they doing for them? Explain it to us, Dr. Judy.
Right. Well, these masks, I mean, the company I mentioned, TRU47.com. And when you go to that website, you're going to see a lot of silver products, a lot of mostly silver, but they add copper because copper, you know, the knowledge of the antimicrobial effects of silver and copper. So colloidal silver, as you breathe into the interior, there's a double mask, as we were saying, that is silver on the inside because copper will cause irritation to your face. But copper on the outside, the combination of copper and silver. So you actually are wearing a double line mask. And this is the mask that, you know, that I've been wearing whenever forced to get on an airplane. The two times I've worn a mask, it's that mask because I do have a lung injury. I do have pleurisy, which is fluid in the lungs. And when you have fluid in the lungs, you're more susceptible to infection. So, you know, out and in. So all of those other let's say a nice word, people on that plane, ignorant people on that plane wearing the dangerous masks are actually putting me at risk. They are concentrating viruses. They are spitting viruses right through the mask. Nothing stops them. Well, these masks, the silver and the copper, anything that touches the silver, the copper is inactivated forever. So it's never again going to come back and be breathed into you or on to someone else. So it is the true protective mask for any issue, and it's mesh. I can totally breathe through it so that I'm not impeding. I'm not breathing in toxic CO2 and concentrating that inside this mask. Rather, the reaction is producing colloidal silver, which is highly antimicrobial, antiviral. Colloidal silver is anti-HIV AIDS in your lungs. So this company is not fly by night. They didn't show up for COVID. They've been around 5 or 6 years to help this growing population of immune compromised people. Half of our country has a compromised immunity, an autoimmune, an autoinflammatory, you know, from the toxins in these shots, from the glyphosate, from the chemtrails, from the toxic food, the GMOs. You know, these vaccines are GMO. They're genetically modified organisms. And we know the damage. The genetically modified food is not as healthy. We can see that. So there are people who have been providing solutions. And so, you know, our job, as we say, is just to educate the masses. And I learned from a talk I gave recently, we're like, just everybody go to the stores and don't anybody wear a mask. And somebody told me, you know, Judy, you know, people hear these, you know, people, ignorant people, again, they took off their masks and they all stormed the store and they scared the employees. And I thought, oh my God, that's not what I wanted them to do. And, you know, I'm sorry, our words have, you know, and so I hope I didn't say it that way. Go two at a time, go peaceably. So they're all afraid that Typhoid Mary is walking into the store hundreds of them, and they're not protected. So everywhere you go on the street, it says, your mask protects me. And my mask protects you and your mask protects me. And we know that's a lie. We know that's not true. But in the case of the True 47, TRU47.com, there's a lot of products there. There are even inhalers. There are even sprays you can put on these masks with eucalyptus, with essential oils to open up your lungs. You know, so there are, just as ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, budesonide, there are natural solutions out there that are immune enhancing and that are protective. So if we can educate people and say, hey, you know, I mailed one of these double masks to my, you know, now we're just going to say now they're double. And I'm sure my friend Sharon, the CEO of True 47, I know I'm sure she can make one, you know. So they even have scarves and they're protective for 5G because silver is a natural product that's good for you. So now there are solutions. And I was watching college basketball, my favorite team, the Wahoos, there at University of Virginia, and delighted to see Tony Bennett, the coach, in a silver mesh mask. I can see his face. I know he's not at risk. He's got to obey the rules, or these wonderful young men who've spent their life winning, can't, you know, play basketball. And I don't want them sitting on the field, on the side of the court in a blue paper mask. A Tampa Bay Buccaneer, a Pro Bowler, his first name was Vincent, dropped dead the other day at 38. Well, we know, you know, he's a black man. We know he's more susceptible. We know the masks are more dangerous to people that don't have that type of immunity or that experience trauma. He's a football player. Trauma is getting hit every single day. That's inflammation. We've got to just wake people up of the dangers and offer them a safe solution, and just get through this so that more people aren't killed. 4% serious adverse reactions.
All right, when we come back, we're going into break, Dr. Judy. When we come back, I'm why they, them, those won't recommend Silmer. You know, the most of self, hell no, for health. Why do you think? I don't know. We're going to find out when we come back, my opinion, and see what Dr. Judy says about it. We'll find out in just a little bit. Stay right there.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, but there's Dr. Judy Mikovits showing us the path. All right, so we got paths to, you know, leave me aloneism and freedom and stuff. And this is my opinion. I do not believe that the United States federal government of compromised scumbags are going to share with anyone the health benefits of silver, because it is very effective. I mean, I've had a lot of great luck with silver, so I'm good with silver. But for them to demonstrate that or go and suggest that would, you know, every family would go out and get an ounce or something, make their own, you know, different. You can put it in distilled water with a 9-volt battery and, you know, two pieces of it, and you make colloidal silver, and boom, you solved all kinds of crap. I mean, it's really that simple. Now, some people make it better, and you put it in different cosmetics or creams or yada, yada, yada. And you can go find silver sprays and stuff at freaking Walgreens. You know, and whenever it's happened, you go up there and they're off the shelf. It's gone. So you take it off. But the so this is a thing. Do you think the government's going to support it? You know, probably not, for two reasons. One, it works. That's one thing. And the other thing is that, man, the banks they have been manipulating silver like you wouldn't believe. And all of a sudden people start actually buying the physical. It's going to send it to the moon. And they're worried about that right now. So they got a perfect storm coming. And I'm wondering what might happen. What do you think? Silver a thing?
Well, yeah, silver's been a thing for, as you know, as long as I've been alive, in hundreds and thousands of years. Silver's been antimicrobial. We know colloidal silver, you know, those things. I mean, I was, you know, Dr. McCullough, Dr. Klinghardt, you know, from the minute I entered this, you know, field and woke up myself and learned the corruption behind the things the government is calling medicine, that big pharma is calling medicine. It's back to natural products. Silver is a natural product, and we can take advantage of silver. And so I think the government's going to, of course, they're going to do this. So, I've been educated to a lot of things in the last 10 years. But what we know is, as you said in the beginning, if it works, they're not going to let you. Because the cool thing about silver, for all the people sitting out there worrying about the strain du jour, COVID-21 in 2022, these silver copper masks, these silver colloidal silver, as you're talking about, one of the doctors talking to me said, yeah, I drink a little colloidal silver in the morning, every morning. But on the mask, you're literally forming colloidal silver and breathing in, and so your lungs are bathed. So now you can be confident. You can go out and be confident that you've got protection from 5G. You've got protection, just where they make a beautiful silver scarf. I love this long silver scarf. I mean, you know me, I wear scarves. I used to until Scarf Lady showed up. And I'm going back to it with the silver scarf. So, you're protected from 5G. You're protected from the strain du jour. They can't, Tony Fauci can't scare you with silver. It's like you're holding up the full army of a god, a silver cross. What was it that people used to hold up?
Dracula.
There you are. You're holding up the silver and said, exactly. You can't. And that's what gives people confidence. So when you go in these stores, I gave my almost 90-year-old father, I mailed him one of these masks because I couldn't stand to think about him wearing a paper one. And he said he goes into Walgreens and all his friends say, oh, I love that, and he's healthy. My father's 90 years old and he's healthy and he doesn't get sick. And the neighbors died of COVID and, and he was worried. He tests negative. You're going to test negative because the silver is going to, it literally, the reaction is forever. It's sterile in your pocket. It's sterile on your chin. It's sterile on your, it's just.
Okay. Let's talk about that. I want to talk about why. Because you take zinc has a big impact on health in a lot of ways. That's been a big thing, and it's kind of for the same reasons. It's a metal, it does some ionization of the blows up virus pathogens or something. What's the mechanism? Right. How does it do that?
Well, that's what we're talking about. These metals, they're in our bodies. Metals charge molecules. That's what our heart, that's what everything is. It's charge. It's plus minus. It's on off. It's signaling charge through the endocannabinoid systems. These, ATP is charge, is energy, mitochondria. It's all about energy. It's about photons of energy. Light is energy. That's why vitamin D is good. Go out and convert the inactive to the active, and you only need an hour a day. So it's in our God-given DNA. It works by charge. So you don't inject in any kind of synthetic RNA, which will change the charge of every cell of your body, along with a little bit of antifreeze, polyethylene glycol, in a lipid, a synthetic fat nanoparticle that your body's going to see as synthetic and say, hey, there's a problem. And, so the PEG, the polyethylene glycol, antifreeze, the charge can't get through it. The silver can't get through it. The charges on all your cells are changed. So, the mechanism of these things have been known for thousands of years. And there are soils depleted of minerals, zinc, magnesium, calcium, these are all charged. And so to negate that charge, you have more inert metals like silver, copper, gold, it's too much chemistry for me and physical chemistry, but I've been going back lately and thinking about it. Even when I recommend nutrients, what can synergize with silver, eucalyptus, essential oils, you want oils and fats and things, because our fats are now toxic because our silver, and this is why we're getting sicker and sicker. Because GMOs stop that signal. They're genetically modified. This shot, this COVID shot, I'm not going to call it a vaccine. This COVID, it's not a vaccine. It makes you sick. It does not develop immunity antibodies that, that are protective. It develops antibodies that make you have autoimmunity, that are dangerous, that are pathogenic priming, as you just mentioned, antibody-dependent enhancement. It's the bad antibodies. It's the bad macrophages. It's the flame. You've turned on inflammation. You haven't turned on.
Okay, now this is why they're wanting to get it all at one time. They're wanting to, you got to do it now, now, correct. Now, do it now, before it's too something now. And is it because they're just trying to see how many people they can get? Because I'm looking at, I'm going, there's going to come a time. It's going to be within a year or something that you're going to start to see fertility rates. And they're already dropping like a stone anyway. This started right after they started doing a lot of this stuff in the water in the early 90s when Donna and I, we were fertile. You know, of course, we didn't, you know, shoot ourselves up with all kinds of crap. But, you know, our friends at church, our whole entire age group, it was fertility problems. That was a big thing. The nursery was getting less and less and less and less. And they go to the fertility doctors, all the people in our Bible study. It was a thing. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Then SIDS happened. Then it's sudden infant death syndrome. They're all dropping. You know, that was like a big deal. And people buy these alarm mattresses, make sure your kid's still breathing and all that. And they never wanted to put associated with vaccines. So I'm, you know, at what point, who's doing the study that we're going to start discovering that fertility is taking a plummet? Who's doing that? Who's keeping track of that?
Well, I think that everybody's keeping track of that, but I think the place is the study. A couple of weeks ago, Paul Thomas, the pediatrician in Oregon, I think his name's Thomas. I got to make sure I know. And Jack Lyons-Weiler, Dr. James Lyons-Weiler, they published a study about the vax versus the unvax. And so he and his pediatric practice with thousands and other pediatricians, of course, they're going to see their clients, you know, families that only have one or two kids, you know, and we know this in the Black community that that's been the big push and Blacks are having far more to, you know, now late term abortions, everything the Biden administration is encouraging us to murder kids in utero. And the vaccine is doing just that, this shot. Sorry, it's not this medical device, this COVID shot is doing that.
Okay, when we come back, we'll get into some, you know, mechanism of how this is doing. I mean, if you watch some animations, why it's not a vaccine traditional, it's a mRNA.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Judy Mikovits. You know, I take enough colloidal silver, I'm going to turn into a Smurf, man. You do too much, it kind of gets in your skin and, you know, gives you that blue hue. Of course, you never get sick and you're blue. But, you know, how much is too much? I don't know. You know, let's ask Dr. Judy, because I'm doing it during the, when it really started in February, March, April, around in there, I'm back east in the snow under a bus, kind of ice and whatever, get kind of even a itty bitty little sore throat. I'm, you know, all day I was, you know, inhaling a mist of it. Well, she's saying like, you know, maybe, you know, a couple times a day, you know, in the morning and the evening. But it's also why I take and explain this. It really works for me. If I start to get a sore, I haven't been sick for like ever. You know, I can't even remember last time I was really sick. And what happens is whenever I start to get a sore throat or I feel a little down, you know, a little bit of sun doesn't hurt and that's easy, but it's zinc. I take one of those little tablets, you know, it's just compressed powder thing, and I'll just bite off a little chip. I mean, it'll last me a week. You know, I just bite off a little chip, let it dissolve in my mouth, and have it coat the back of my throat where it's raw. And because of that, the actual metal, for the same reason as silver, now I just do silver most of the time, but for years I do zinc, and I still do every now and then. I take it when, you know, as a supplement. But, you know, that chip, and it coats the back of my throat. It's a physical barrier. It's like a Band-Aid with Neosporin on it on the back of your throat or something. So I've had excellent luck with that, and I want to know why. Well, what is it doing, and what's too much, Dr. Judy?
Well, again, yes. So the little microbes see it, and their RNA and DNA, that's charged. You know, that's why you don't want to put a synthetic RNA that won't break up. But that charge, that it's like you said, it is a physical barrier. It's protecting. It's stopping another charge from getting to your cell membrane. You know, and this is why you don't want that shot, because it's a synthetic lipid nanoparticle with that antifreeze, that polyethylene glycol in it. So it doesn't care. It's like, I don't care. The silver won't get through my goo. You know, that's why it's antifreeze. And think about these shots. So they had to be kept at minus 70, minus 90, because they'll break down. It'll the zinc, the silver, they're different. They're subtly different mechanisms, but you should do a little of both. Don't do one thing, just like we don't do just carrots or vitamin A. There are many different carotenoids, that's different kinds of that molecule of antioxidant. Too much vitamin A can cause cirrhosis of the liver. So you want to do a little bit of everything, because each of these natural elements and metals, magnesium, calcium, silver, zinc, all of these are in some way contributing to antimicrobial, just like almost like a physical barrier, because the virus goes in. Let's just say that PCR fragment, that's just a fragment of the blueprint, the nucleic, the RNA. So if you're positive for that fragment, you definitely don't have an infectious particle. Because if that fragment entered your nose and you breathed it in, it wouldn't get in your cells. It wouldn't go into your cells unless it was a particle with a receptor on it. So right there, it hits the silver and it sticks there forever. And it's a covalent, they call it, interaction, where it can never be undone. That's why the masks are sterile. That's why it's great for people to know they don't have to worry about the strain du jour. They don't have to worry.
So it doesn't blow up the virus or kill it or anything. It just traps it.
It just stops it. It's like your armor. It's the full armor of God. It's our natural God-given way to stop these things to getting to you. And then you're strong because you're not afraid. You're like, no, I know the mechanism of this. No, I know this works. And even if you just, and you're actually inhaling colloidal silver when it's there on the physical mask. So it's really a cool thing. And you can enhance it by what you do, like put it in an atomizer, put it in just a room spray where you're spraying diffuser, where you're spraying essential oils around the world and around the room. And some of that can contain silver. You're breathing in natural.
Okay, I've known. I just want to share with the audience.
Get there.
I just want to share with the audience. This is my experience. Once I understood it, I didn't know why. It was some reason, you know, zinc. Oh, I remember what it was. It was Zicam. It was when they were spraying. You know.
I love Zicam.
Yeah. Well, of course they had to make it illegal now or something. You're not allowed or whatever, because it was working. And I go zinc. I'm going, okay, yeah, I can understand how this works. So you start to get a cold and you spray Zicam in your nose, and it was just, and you kind of inhale it a little bit. Well, it was a physical barrier. Yeah. And it worked really well. You spray it back in your throat. And I'm going, okay, well, I don't need to. And then they made it illegal. And I remember, you know, Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. See, of course, it was, it's evil. And media was given the task of saying how bad and evil it was, and you're all going to die. And I'm going, you know, screw you guys. So I got just zinc, just regular zinc that you get as a supplement. And you just bite a teeny bit and coat your back of your throat when I started getting a sore throat. And the next morning, it was gone. I'm going, boom, overnight, done. And I said, holy crap. So then we started using colloidal silver. When I got burned back in the mid-90s, you don't know when was it? It was, 94. In 94, I got burned, and friends, colloidal silver is a big deal, and you had Silverdyne, which was a lotion that you put in. Then I had to get a prescription to get more. Are you freaking kidding me? Now I can order it online. But I was like, who is doing this? This stuff worked awesome. I run out. I have raising a family. I wanted to have the Silverdyne because it worked really great for infections. I'm going, there's a freaking conspiracy here. You know, how it actually physically worked, I didn't know, but I knew it did. And the zinc thing. So it's for the same reason. They're metals that have a charge that hold the viruses and other pathogens. So I don't know if it makes them blow up or anything, but they sure as heck don't, make you sick anymore. So I'm going, all right. So when people start to realize this, which they have done their best to make sure you don't. Why? This is working, simple, cheap stuff, and it works. Is that why they don't want you to know it, Dr. Judy?
Yeah, exactly. These silver copper masks are $50 and they're your whole lifetime. You know, you never have to sterilize them. You don't ever have to wash them. I mean, they might get dirty, so you might want to, you know, you wash them with soap and water in the sink, you know, and they don't want you to know that $20 or $50 or, you know, Coldies, Zicam, zinc, the little tablet when you get on that plane. That's what many of us have been doing forever. Those of us at risk, I've always taken some of this stuff before I get on a plane again, because it's oxidative stress. You're taking radiation. What is radiation? Oh, it's charge. It's break up your DNA. It break it up and that causes inflammation. Well, when you use things like silver and zinc, it never gets near you. And even drugs like the WHO drug Suramin, you know, Suramin it's a big synthetic, you know, negatively charged molecule. Hydrochloris, you know, what is chlorine? Oh, it's a negative charge molecule. It stops positive strand RNA viruses. Why do we call them positive and negative? They have different charge. So it never gets there. It's like, nope, you're not coming in my cells. And this is what they don't want you to know. So
this is how hydroxychloroquine works, is the same way?
No, different. It's a channel. That's different. Chlorine is not hydroxychloroquine. That's a quinolone. It's a different compound. But there are similar mechanisms of these things that we've worked with all our lives, and they're anti-cancer. And, you know, this company I make. So what you want to do is keep your DNA. You know, that's why we have a nuclear membrane. That's why we have a cell membrane. Stop signs. You can't go in every cell. So why, instead of breathing something in the air, which you're never going to come in contact with, why would you inject it into every cell of your body? And this is what we're trying to wake people up. Wake up, people. I know those masks are making your brain damaged and your lungs damaged, so you can't think and you're so fearful. Well, you know, if we empower you with these simple strategies that cost 10 cents, you know, this, you know, break down what that is per day, just a couple of sprays.
Oh, great information, Dr. Judy. I'm sorry to cut you off, doctor. I can't hear it over the music. Well, this is what's going to happen. You go to today's archive, and you have the link to these maps. And just to understand, you know, the simple science of it. It's just a charge. It's just like, none shall pass. Ooh, done. Are the government going to tell you? No. Why? Because they got another agenda. Your death, your illness, is to their benefit. Really? What the hell good are they? Oh, we look forward to next week with Dr. Judy Mikovits.